Good morning, brethren. I don't think I need this stand as much as my father does, but Feliz Sabato. I feel the anxiety that Mr. Paul Spencer was mentioning the other day about speaking. This is my first sermonette at the feast. It's not my first sermonette, but I wasn't planning on speaking when we signed up for Italy, but when a Sicilian named Anastasi asked you to do him a favor, then I felt like I needed to comply. You know, anybody familiar with Godfather stories knows what I'm talking about. He's a great man. Today I want to start by reviewing the biblical story of Lot and how it applies to us today in these end times. I do believe that we are in the end times, and even Christ mentions back to the story of Lot in the end time. So if you're reading along in the Bible, you can turn to Genesis 18. I'm not going to have you turn to every scripture, but you can kind of follow along. I want to set the stage of Lot and his family during this time of Sodom and Gomorrah. So before getting into the Sodom and Gomorrah story, first, there were three angels that appeared to Abram at that time, and they were living in the plains of Mamre. I believe that's how you say it. I may be wrong. But after the angels received Abraham's hospitality, they revealed to Abraham that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah at that time. And Abraham pleaded with God. He asked them if he would spare the city if they could find 50 righteous people in that city. And the Lord agreed. Lord agreed with him. However, after them looking, or God looking through Sodom and Gomorrah, he couldn't find 50. Then Abraham pleaded with him some more. He asked for 45. And then he asked for 40. And he asked for 30. Then 20. And finally came down to 10. Still, the Lord, agreeing each time, could not find those numbers. So those two angels proceeded to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they met with Abraham's nephew Lot, who was a righteous man. And they convinced Lot to allow them to lodge with him, and Lot brought them in and ate with them. In Genesis 19, 4 through 5, it mentions this. Very troublesome time for Lot and these men or angels. Lot didn't know they were angels at the time. Came in in verse 4 it mentions that before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed the house, surrounded their house, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So obviously Satan knew that Lot was righteous and these men were angels. And then in verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men that which came unto you this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And that term, know them, is not just getting to know them. But Lot refused these guests to the inhabitants of Sodom. And he even said, here, have my virgin daughters. They haven't known man. He was trying to protect these men that he was hosting in his house. Even then, they refused. This is Satan's influence on these men. And they threatened to do worse to Lot than they would do to this man, to these guests that he had. Can you imagine being surrounded by a whole town, whole city, in your house, and you're worried about these men and your family, and you're trying to protect them from the people that you thought maybe were your friends? However, Lot's angelic guests rescued them. They struck them down. They struck the men down with blindness so they could not see. And then Lot realized these were not ordinary men. These were angels. Angels that had come to warn him and his family and to protect him. That's in verses 9 through 13. And then they proceeded to tell Lot about why God was going to destroy the city and that they needed to get out. And he commanded them to, through God, through these angels, commanded them to leave. And as they made their escape in verse 17, one angel commanded Lot to not look back. This is key for this message. Do not look back. Don't look behind you. And while Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed with fire and brimstone, can you imagine that sight, just fire and brimstone raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah, your hometown at this time. But Lot's wife looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. And this is what leads into my message here. Well, why did Lot's wife look back? This is very key to us in these times. I mean, really, only God knows why Lot's wife looked back. But if we think about ourselves as human beings and also the historical references of what Sodom and Gomorrah was as a metropolis, we can make some assumptions and apply ourselves to her situation. Let me give you some background of Sodom and Gomorrah because you can see some resemblance to our world today. The kingdoms of Sodom and Gomorrah were allied with the cities of Admah, Zeboim, and Bela. These were five cities known as the cities of the plain. And they were situated on the Jordan River plain in the southern region of the land of Canaan. So it was a very rich land in minerals and in food production and wealth. Very similar to how we have blessings, at least in the Americas and also in Europe as well. It was even mentioned in Genesis 13:10 that this was a land well-watered, green, and suitable for grazing livestock. Some historians believe Sodom was the metropolis of the five cities of the plain. So, like, everything revolved around Sodom. It was a bustling city. Strabo was a geographer that died in AD 23. He states in his book, Geography, that there were once 13 inhabited cities in that region of which Sodom was the metropolis. So, you know, we may think back to Bible times as small villages, towns, but there's a lot of people. This was a big, big city. Sodom had a lot of conveniences just like we do today. Josephus states that Sodomites grew proud on account of their riches and great wealth. And if Sodom was the metropolis, then you imagine they had whatever was available, the technologies of the time. Food was readily available. There was a bustling city of markets, industry, fashion, and wealth. One could have a comfortable life physically, even though it was definitely not spiritually. So it could be some reasons why Lot's wife looked back. It was her home. It was something she was comfortable with. She was going to miss these type of physical things, same type of things that we could feel that we might miss in a similar situation. And she might have been looking back, yearning on what they were leaving behind. She could have been thinking, oh no, we left our home. Where are we going to live? What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? Instead of thinking about God looking forward with how he was going to provide for them. This is all happening quickly, probably through her mind, as they were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah. Aren't these all thoughts that we could have as human beings as we move towards these end times? Nevertheless, Lot's wife looked back. She was commanded not to, and she had to pay the penalty. So from there, I started thinking, well, will we look back when it's our time to leave what we have, leave it behind? I do believe that we are in a similar situation as Lot and his wife. We live in a society of comfortable living. We can eat when we want. We have technologies, we have mobiles, everybody has devices, everything is in our hands, more so than what Lot had in his family in Sodom and Gomorrah. But on the other side, this is a society that is decaying in morality, probably worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, one of the topics that hits the news in the Americas is not about what's happening in the world today. And world in Americas, we have top headlines is, what about transgender bathrooms and who gets to use them? I mean, seriously, this is the world that we're in today. homosexuality is on the news and is a topic every single day. And if you are against what is immoral, then you are a bigot and could be persecuted on it because of it. Many ministers can't even speak about these things because they could be sued. Some are being forced or sued because they won't marry two gay people in the United States. This is kind of world that we live in. It's very similar to Sodom and Gomorrah. In Luke 17, 28 through 30, if you turn there with me, this is key point Jesus Christ is trying to make to us, picturing the end times. This is where he compares the second coming to the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Luke 17, 28 through 30 says, "Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built." Isn't that what we're doing today? And we have been doing since basically the Industrial Revolution, at least in the Americas. "But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So the end time when Christ returns, and right before that, will be very similar to the story of what Lot experienced when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. "At a point in time in the future, we will be directed to leave what we have behind, our homes, just like Lot had to. We have to keep our mind locked on the end goal, and that's the kingdom." Please turn with me to Revelation 12, 10 through 14. We'll read this. Revelation 12, 10 through 14. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death.'" Brethren, we have to do this. This is probably going to be our hardest test. And our final test is, can we lay down our lives in the future? Leave what we have behind? Lay down our life if we have to. Look to God and his blood to help us overcome these end times. Verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she will be nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent." Note that the woman here, the church, is given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly. Here the Greek word literally means fly, as a bird or a plane does. It doesn't mean flee or escape by other means. It means to fly. I don't know how that's going to be, but that's what it says. "She," the church, "flies to her place," which could imply ownership. Here she is nourished, the church, God's people, whoever is alive at this time, will be fed and nourished by God and being prepared for what's to come, for his return. I know this scripture for the past several decades between different organizations, ministers, and people in general has been controversial, whether there's a place of safety or not, whether God can protect us where we are. Personally, I believe that this is very important, and that we will be. That's my personal opinion. That we, as a church, God says the church will go to her place. To me, that's a physical place to be nourished during this time. And when this time comes, we'll be just like Lot. However, we're told that it's time to go, whether it's an angel like Lot experienced. These angels with Lot told him to leave. And he had to just have faith and leave at that time. I believe that we will be told in some manner to leave. And I think that is the hardest test. Can we give up what we have today? Our conveniences. We wake up every single day. We think about work. Yes, we may pray. We may study. But we have comfortable lives, more comfortable than any generation that has ever lived today. And I have to think, I think to myself, wow, that's got to be a tough decision. Can I do that? Will that be a yes to that final test? Will I make it? So every day we have to pray, God, we look forward to the kingdom come. Help me. Help you to be able to have that strength, to be able to leave what we have behind for this kingdom that's coming in the days that the Feast of Tabernacles represents. We are to be first fruits to help those, mankind, be able to find God's word, learn his truth, and the days that the Feast of Tabernacles pictures. In Revelation 12, 17, it states, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and has the testimony of Jesus Christ. And in verse 17, it shows that there are certain others in the church who do not make this flight, do not make it to her place. They will face persecution. We have no idea what will happen, but Satan will make war with them, and that will be some pretty tough times. I'd be surprised if anybody that's left in the remnant makes it. So that's why we have to not look back, keep focused on God's kingdom and his calling. And if we hold on to what we have now and don't trust in God, then we may be part of that remnant and face some very, very hard times, worse than what it will be to just leave what we have behind. So in conclusion, brethren, let's not be like Lot's wife. When it comes time for us to be directed to leave, just like Lot and his family, however that manner may be, to go to her place, let's keep our eyes focused on God, on the end goal, the spiritual gift that Jesus Christ gave us by his sacrifice, and keep looking forward to Christ's return. Thank you, brethren.